This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News next, it's 10 p.m.
CBS News, the two nations of the Iberian Peninsula, Portugal and Spain, confront political crisis. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The new Prime Minister of Portugal, Admiral José Pinheiro de Azevedo, placed his troops on full alert Monday and ordered the seizure of radio and television stations, in his words, to secure the bases of order. The Prime Minister, reacting protectively against provocations by communists who infiltrated broadcasting staffs in earlier phases of the Portuguese Revolution. The moderate Socialist Party has thrown its support behind Azevedo, but the Communist Party has vehemently criticized what it's termed the attempt to accentuate a turn to the right in Portuguese politics. The government of Generalissimo Francisco Franco has rejected protests within Spain and on both sides of the Atlantic to the weekend execution of five urban guerrillas. Franco, under pressure from his own right wing, faces mounting agitation on his left, work stoppages and political protests in Madrid itself. More than a dozen nations have withdrawn their ambassadors from Madrid. 20,000 demonstrators marched in Paris. In Mexico, the government of President Luis Echeverria has decreed the severing of trade, tourism, and communications links with Spain. In Mexico City, reporter George Natanson has more.
Mexico had never officially recognized the Franco government, but a Spanish consulate did exist here to provide travel visas and aid in commercial dealings between the two countries. In reaction against what he called the lack of human rights under the Spanish dictatorship, Mexico's president, Luis Echeverria, personally ordered all Spanish commercial enterprises and the consulate closed here. Among other things, Iberia, the Spanish commercial airline company, will no longer enter Mexico. Aeromexico, the Mexican company, will no longer land in Spain. The offices of the Spanish official news agency have been closed here, and its Spanish correspondents ordered to leave the country within hours. George Natanson for CBS News in Mexico City.
The White House says the United States has no plan to recall its ambassador. Madrid and Washington are completing negotiations for the renewal of strategic American bases on Spanish soil, vital to the defense of the Mediterranean. Now this.
Dr. Margaret Mead shares her thoughts on parenthood.
I think it's important not to think of parenthood so much as a profession as to think of it as a vocation, in the sense that it's something that people choose to do. I think today, choosing a full-time professional career might be opposed to choosing parenthood as a vocation, as a whole-time commitment, or as a part-time commitment for the husband and wife, each of whom will also have a career, but not a career that was regarded as something that was more important than the task of parenthood. Because if we turn marriage into profession, I think we'll lose something, because a profession is a partial view of life.
You have the freedom to become the parent you want to become. Make your choices, realizing your God-given potential. This affirmation of parents by the Mennonite churches.
President Ford boards Air Force One and resumes his travels later Tuesday, first to Chicago, then Wednesday on to Omaha. There'll be some changes, some obvious, some for security reasons not. His campaign manager says Mr. Ford will sidestep large gatherings where Secret Service cannot screen crowds. At station WBBM, reporter John Cody previews the state of readiness in Chicago.
Over 1,000 Chicago police officers and 100 federal agents will be guarding the president on his first visit outside Washington since the assassination attempt last week in San Francisco. Chicago police have reported receiving 4 death threats against the president. Local and federal agents will be keeping at least 20 area residents under surveillance, and spot checks are reportedly being made on another 100 who could conceivably pose a threat to Mr. Ford. Portable metal detectors will be used to check for weapons in crowds, and helicopters will patrol the routes chosen but not made public for the president's motorcade from O'Hare Airfield into Chicago and back to North Suburban Skokie, where he'll be spending the night. This is John Cody for CBS News in Chicago.
Now this.
In November 74, she became the first woman correspondent to anchor a regional desk for CBS News election night coverage.
Campaign reformers are charging that elected officials are trying to weaken the Elections Commission, which is...
She's correspondent Leslie Stahl. Leslie joined CBS News in 1972 and vividly recalls her very first assignment, flying in a chartered plane in pursuit of a skyjacking then in progress and coming down to Earth with the very first films of such an event. When the dams of Watergate broke, she filed extensive coverage on all aspects of the story from the beginning. She comes from Massachusetts and graduated from Wheaton College with high honors in history. Leslie's always been interested in politics and current events. Shortly after college, she worked on the speechwriting staff of the then mayor of New York City, John Lindsay, and for NBC during the 68 presidential election. She worked as a researcher and writer. Leslie Stahl, reporting regularly for CBS News on the CBS radio network.
Trouble tonight for two troopers. Actress Marlena Dietrich walked on stage late Monday in Sydney, Australia. She collapsed, breaking a leg. Marlena is expected to be in the hospital for at least 3 days. The remainder of her Australian tour has been canceled. Marlena is 74. Casey Stengel, who butchered the English language with the same enthusiasm that won him 10 Yankee pennants, in grave condition in a Glendale, California hospital with cancer. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for mostly sunny skies tomorrow and Wednesday after patchy morning fog. Highs in the mid-70s tomorrow, lower 70s on Wednesday, and the lows near 50. No chance of rain. In downtown Seattle, it's currently 58 degrees, likewise at the airport. The barometer falling, it reads 30.12. And briefly in the world of sports, reserve quarterback Steve Ramsey threw 10 yards to Jack Dilbin for a touchdown, and Jim Turner booted 3 field goals to lead the Denver Broncos to a 23-13 win over the Green Bay Packers. Ramsey was thrust into action when injuries depleted the Denver backfield. First-string quarterback Charlie Johnson was sidelined with a split right index finger, and a 1974 NFL rushing leader, Otis Armstrong, had to leave the game with bruised ribs. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. How far can the mind of man go once it has been convinced that nothing is impossible? We've already visited the moon. That was impossible a short while back. We'll surely reach the other planets of our solar system if we really want to, and most likely the stars, eventually. But there are other directions, other so-called impossibilities. Suppose, for example, a man looked in his mirror one day and, seeing the lines of encroaching old age, said to himself, "Now, why does a thing like that have to happen?
I want out of this house. Maybe once we're out of it, Nathan will stop. Oh, Jessica, I'm so frightened."
"Of what, Beth? Surely not of Nathan."
"I think he's finished his experiments with the animals, Jessica. What is he going to do now? I don't like the way he looks at me."
"Beth."
"That dog howled tonight. What kind of noise do you suppose I'll make? Because I'm next. And I'm not imagining it. I'm next."
Our mystery drama, You're Only Young Twice, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington, and stars Anne Shepherd and Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
In case you've forgotten how much fun driving can be, Buick would like to introduce you to Skylark, a small car that's all Buick, with room, comfort, and an engine that no other compact car in America offers, the incredible Buick V6. Skylark, it's free spirit made practical.
Last month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week. And each week I take a different child and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
This is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind needs special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Lewis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Lewis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Lewis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Lewis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
Aging, like it or not, is a process shared by all living things. Always has been and always will be. It isn't the fact of being old that's so intolerable. It's more the step-by-step irreversible deterioration that has to be faced along the way. Jessica Stone, a great romantic star of stage and screen in her day, finds herself at liberty with no professional prospects for the summer just beginning.
So you see, Jim, there's just no reason for my staying on in the city and sweltering all summer.
You're running out on me. You're going up to Maine where it's cool and quiet and beautiful, and you're leaving me stranded.
Oh, come on now, Jim.
Your lawyer, your business manager, your good friend, and more. And more, anytime you say you're leaving me stranded in this city, which lives for me only because you're...
Oh, silly.
No, I do wish you wouldn't, though, Jessica.
Well, my sister wants me to come and spend the summer with her.
But she's got a perfectly good husband up there. Great scientist, or at least a rich scientist, and you...
He's getting old, Jim. Besides, Nathan's a very strange man.
Well, all the same,
and I didn't like the sound of her letter. It was more than just an invitation. I think she actually needs me. Something's wrong.
Like what?
I don't know. I don't know. She didn't say, but from the way her letters read, I think she's afraid of something.
My sister is coming for a visit, Nathan. She phoned me last night.
Jessica?
Yes. She may spend the summer. I don't know.
Wonderful. I'm delighted.
You are?
Of course I am. She's an intelligent woman. Good company.
Yes, she was always the glamorous one. Nathan, that dog was howling again last night.
I know that.
Were you hurting him?
No, I was not. I wish you could believe me. I use animals in my experiments. I do not hurt them.
If only I knew what... Nathan, you can't blame me for feeling left out. Even Cal knows what you're working on.
Cal is my assistant. He has to know.
Cal is a handyman. That's all Cal is.
He takes care of the animals. I need him.
Do you intend to use this, whatever it is you're working on, do you intend to use it on people once you've finished with the animals?
Beth, you force me to ask you again to mind your own business.
Because I'm the only people you have handy.
Would you like me to keep you posted while you're gone?
Well, of course. I'd jump at anything that was offered right now, and we both know it. I don't like being old and burned out and not wanted.
Now, stop that.
It's true, isn't it?
Well, you're not 16 anymore, but you're not old.
Well, I feel old and tired and finished.
That is nonsense. You're beautiful and you sparkle, and I wish you weren't going away.
Oh, dear Jim, I don't know how I'll manage without you.
I'm going to ask you once more, Jessica. Will you marry me?
You know how dear you are to me. But I've been married 4 times. Divorced 4 times. No more. That's enough.
Jesse! Jesse, over here!
Beth!
Jesse!
Oh, good it is to see you.
Jesse, such a long time.
Jesse, I wonder how long it's been since anybody called me that.
Since the last time I did, probably. Here, let me have a look at you.
Yeah, don't look too closely, Beth.
Oh, what are you talking about? You look wonderful.
Yeah. There's a lot of camouflage. The old gal's not what she used to be.
Oh, listen, I'm older than you are, and I don't like it either. I hate it. Well, come on, let's go pick up your luggage. We've got a long drive ahead of us.
Cal, cut that thing off, Cal.
Yeah, just mowing the lawn, Mr. Hardy. Gets real shaggy. You must be feeling pretty perky today.
Oh, why do you say that?
Yeah, traipsing around all over the place. Watch out you don't overdo.
I'm not a day older than you, Cal. Well, not many days. And here you are mowing the lawn.
Well, I ain't the one that counts. You got all that in your head about your RJ-97, and if you was to
Shut up, Cal. Yeah. Mrs. Hardy's gone to the airport to meet her sister, Jessica. She'll be visiting with us for a while. Jessica Stone.
Jessica Stone. Hey, now, ain't that the name of that actor lady?
That's right, the same one. Now, if you talk to her, be especially careful not to hint at, well, the kind of work we're doing in the lab.
Well, if I was a few years younger, I wouldn't be talking to her about no work and no lab. You can bet on that.
You old lecher.
Well, now, if you was to kind of move up your schedule...
Shut up, Cal.
Don't fret, Mr. Hardy. I won't do no talking.
And try to keep the animals quiet while she's here.
Tell me about Nathan, Bear. I haven't seen him in years. How is he?
Well, all I can say is never marry a man 15 years older than you are. I don't know, not exactly sour at him, but I don't really know him anymore.
Mm.
Maybe it's his age and maybe it's something else. He's changed.
In what way?
Well, he lives in that laboratory. I mean, literally. Mm. He has a sitting room and bedroom there. I almost never see him. I almost never see anybody. There's just Nathan and Cal, and that's all.
Cal?
Mm, local product. Nathan calls him his assistant. He helps out with the animals and putters around the grounds. He's not very bright. It's not an exciting life.
Well, maybe I can liven things up a little.
If things don't deaden you.
Offer you a liqueur, Jessica.
After that dinner, I don't really think I have any room for it, Nathan.
Of course you do. Here you are, Jessica.
Thank you.
Beth? Now, may I propose a toast? To perpetual youth, as practiced by my lovely sister-in-law.
Ah, thank you. I must be very old.
Very. Funny thing about age. Good for spirituous liquors, bad for people.
Well, there's nothing much we can do about that.
We can dream.
Oh, Nathan, is that...
Old Patchy, I imagine. He's the one who could tell you about old age.
Patchy?
A dog, one of my animals. You see, I use animals in my experiments. Beth thinks that I torture them, but the truth is...
No, I never said that.
The truth is... My experiments are designed to help them, and do help them. Jessica, do you have a new play for next season?
Well, I haven't really decided what I'm going to do. Of course, if the right thing comes along, but you never know, do you?
I'll never forget you in The Lives of Gretchen Day. You were absolutely magnificent.
When I made that film, I was very young.
Were you expecting a call, Nathan?
No, would you mind answering it?
Phone rings so seldom, I sometimes forget we have a phone.
What kind of a play are you looking for this time, Jessica?
I really don't know. I'm getting a little old for romantic leads these days.
Well, they're always character roles, aren't they?
I've never played much character. Funny about that. You just can't imagine yourself ever growing old. And then one morning, you get up, you look in the mirror, and all of a sudden, you see...
Jessie, it's for you. It's from New York.
Oh, that'll be Jim Blake, most likely. I promised to call him when I got in, and I forgot.
I didn't know that you were such a fan of Jessica's, Nathan.
Oh, well, maybe I exaggerated a little. Can't do any harm. She was good, you know.
She still is.
Excuse me for bothering you, Mr. Hardy, but old Patch is having one of his spells.
Oh, that dog. What's his problem this time?
Same old thing, shaking and, you know, not breathing the way he ought to. I think
it
maybe
was
if I was...
him, all right.
Jessica, this... Yes, this is Cal Sommers, my assistant.
How do you do?
How do you do, Miss Stone? I swear if... And if you ain't prettier than you are in them movies I've seen...
Don't listen to him, Jessica. He's an old rake. All right, come on, Cal. Let's go down and see what we can do for old Patchy. Now, how long has he been acting this way?
Well, that's the last we'll see of Nathan tonight.
Really?
Yes, once he shuts himself up in that lab, forget it. Jessica, if he asks to borrow money from you, don't give him any, will you?
Borrow money?
He's broke, or very close to it. I don't really know how bad it is, but money is very short these days.
But I don't understand. I always thought that he had... I thought he was quite rich.
I guess his experiments, whatever they are, have cost him a lot of money.
If you need money, of course.
Oh, Jessica, I'm so frightened.
Of what? Surely not of Nathan.
You heard that dog howl this evening.
Well, dogs do howl. It's their nature. There doesn't have to be anything sinister about it.
I think he's finished the experiments with the animals, Jessica. What's he going to do now? I don't like the way he looks at me.
Beth.
That dog howled tonight. What kind of noise do you suppose that I'll make because I'm next? I'm not just imagining it. I'm next.
A man who devotes himself to scientific research is necessarily a curious man. That's the starting point for all research, curiosity. Carried too far, however, it can become dangerous. Are we witnessing a case in point? We'll try to satisfy your curiosity about that when I return shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion. Internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Hi, this is Carol Burnett. The International Rescue Committee, IRC, was started in 1933 to help refugees from Nazi Germany. Since World War II, IRC has helped thousands who've escaped from Hungary, Cuba, China, East Germany, and Russia, or wherever freedom is pretty much of a meaningless word. But the people who help people need your help, so please send your money to this address. International Rescue Committee, Box 16, Times Square Station, New York City, New York, 10036.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
Experiments which Nathan Hardy has been conducting in his laboratory are of such a secret nature that only his assistant, Cal Summers, knows what their purpose is. Although his wife questions it, Nathan himself says that his experiments are beneficial to the animals he uses. But Nathan is one of those intensely curious researchers, and it may be that his thirst for knowledge prejudices his judgment. He's with his assistant now in his laboratory, attending to a sick old dog he calls Patchy.
What's your problem, Patchy, old boy? Your poor old bones aching again?
Yes, me. That old dog's gone just about as far as he can go.
You can get him through the night, can't you, Count?
I don't like the promise. Why don't we give him a shot of RJ-97 right now, Mr. Hardy?
No, I want to save him for tomorrow. I have a special reason.
Anything to do with your sister-in-law, that Jessica lady?
Just pull him through the night, Cal.
I'll do what I can. Hey, Mr. Hardy.
Yes?
When do I get mine?
Your RJ-97? Soon. Now. Very soon.
Well, I don't see nothing standing in the way of it right now. It's ready, ain't it?
It is, but I'm not. I'm not quite yet. Maybe tomorrow, Cal. Maybe the day after.
Whatever you say, of course. Me and old Patchy here, we'll try to hang on till our time comes.
Is there anything I can do to help with breakfast, Beth?
Oh, pour the coffee if you like. All I have to do now is scramble the eggs.
I hope Nathan doesn't let his get cold again.
Is he still in the laboratory?
I don't know where he is. I haven't seen him.
Well, he surely didn't work all night.
Who knows? Jesse, he said he wanted to show you through the house this morning. Will you see if you can get anything out of him about what he's doing?
Well, I can try. But I don't think he's likely to tell me anything he won't tell you.
Oh, he might. He won't tell me anything, of course. Not if he has plans for me.
But you, he might. Beth, I think you must be wrong.
I'm just going to have to throw the eggs out if Nathan doesn't get
it. Don't let me catch you throwing my eggs out. I could smell that bacon all the way down the hall. I'm starved.
Oh, did you work all night?
No, I went to bed early. I'm feeling quite fit this morning. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Ah, you look radiant.
Well, thank you. A good night's sleep and a little cosmetic booster.
Very becoming, whatever it is.
Is everybody ready? Don't let your eggs get cold.
Jessica, do you feel up to making a tour of the house this morning? 19 rooms, you know, 3 floors.
I can make it if you can.
I'm not as decrepit as I look. What do you think of it?
Beautiful old place. Just beautiful. Takes you right back to a quite different style of living, doesn't it?
Yes, needs some work, of course, but after all, there are just the two of us.
Oh, it's lovely.
That's about it, except for the laboratory wing, of course. Would you like to see that?
Very much, yes.
All right. Come along. This is actually my home, Jessica. I keep this small suite in the lab wing, and, well, I come to visit Beth sometimes, but, well, this is where I live.
It's very nice.
But don't be embarrassed. Beth and I are... Well, there's not much left of our marriage, Beth must have told you.
Not that flatly. I know she isn't very happy.
This is my living room. I like heavy Victorian furniture, as you can see. The bedroom's back that way, and this door. This is the entrance to my laboratory. Might as well see that, too.
Your laboratory?
You'll be the first, except for Cal and myself. Beth has never seen the lab.
Oh. Oh, I'm flattered.
Go ahead, Jessica. Go on in.
Oh, very impressive.
I've spent a lot of money on equipment. Too much, really. Cal.
Right here, Mr. Hardy.
Cal, bring Patsy out, will you? The dog you heard howling last night, Jessica.
Oh.
As I said, he's very old.
How do you do, Miss Jessica?
How do you do?
I thought best carry poor old Patsy in. He ain't getting around so good this morning.
Got through the night all right, though. That's the main thing. Cal, just put him down on the pillow there.
All right, sir. There you go, boy.
You see, Jessica, there's nothing really wrong with this dog at all, except old age, which of course means that just about everything is wrong with him.
He looks so sad. What kind of dog is he?
Too many kinds to list. I got him at the pound. I imagine they'd have put him away by this time if I hadn't taken him.
Might be a kindness. I don't see what else there is to do.
Jessica, wait a little, and you will.
Want me to give him his milk, Mr. Hardy?
Yes. Please, Cal. All
right. Here you go, Patsy, old boy. Nice, cool drink of milk for you.
Just a minute, Cal.
Are you going to put something in the milk?
Just a few drops from this bottle. And to keep the bowl steady, Cal.
Yes, sir.
One, two, three, four. All right, Cal. Give it to him.
Here we go, Patsy. This is the big one.
What? Is it all right to ask? What is it that you put in the milk?
We call it RJ-97. Cal, would you mind leaving us?
I don't think it'd be a good idea for me to hang around just in case something goes wrong.
You'll be all right, Cal. I'll call you if I need you. RJ-97. It's the 97 formula. 96 were failures or only partial successes. This is the one that I've been working toward for, well, better than 10 years now. RJ-97.
What will it do to him?
You'll see. It will take a little time, 5 minutes or so. But you'll see.
Jason, look at him. What's happening to him? It's unbelievable.
Down, boy, down.
He's acting like a puppy.
He is a puppy, or a little more. I'd say he's just about the equivalent of a year and a half, maybe as much as 2 years. Oh, he has a good 10 years to look forward to.
But, Nathan, I don't understand.
RJ-97. The RJ stands for rejuvenation.
Rejuvenation?
Yes, it will work on people, too. I'm sure it will. No reason on earth why it shouldn't.
On people?
Jessica, how would you like to be young again? I can do it for you.
Make me young again?
About 25, I guess. Over 20, under 30, certainly. Within that range.
How can you?
4 drops of RJ-97, Jessica.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Look at Patsy. Was that sleight of hand?
Do you know, I'm not sure I'd want to go through it again. All that stress, that those silly mistakes.
No, Jessica, that's the most beautiful part. You see, you would retain your memory. You wouldn't have to be young and foolish again. Only young. You'd be as wise as you are today. All the experience, none of the fatigue.
How can you know that?
I've proved it 100 times with animals. Oh, we'll retain our memories, all right.
We? You too?
Why do you think I went to the trouble? Do you think I intend to live with this bone-weary old body of mine when 4 drops of RJ-97 will make it young and strong again?
You and I?
Jessica, there are certain promises I'll ask you to make. You wouldn't expect to get a thing like youth for nothing, would you?
I see. What promises?
I won't ask for your soul, although that is the going price, I understand. No, not your soul. All I require of you is that you agree.
Jesse, wait a minute. I want to talk to you.
I have to make a phone call, Beth. I'll have the operator charge
you. Wait, Jesse, please. You were in the lab with Nathan, weren't you?
Yes.
What happened? Please, Jesse, I have to know.
Nothing. Nothing much really happened. He gave that old dog a dose of some kind of medicine and it got better. That's all I saw.
He gave it a dose of medicine?
That's right.
He's lying to you. He wouldn't drive himself the way he does just to cure sick dogs. You've let him fool you, Jesse. You've let him pull the wool over your eyes.
Beth, I have to make this phone call. I'm in a hurry.
All right. But he's lying.
Did you call me, Mr. Hardy?
Yes, I called you. Take a look at old Patchy.
That's old Patchy there. What? It ain't nothing but a pup.
It's Patchy all the same.
Well, land sakes. That shot of RJ-97 sure took hold on him, didn't it? That there's just about the best one yet.
No reason why it shouldn't work just as well for you.
Well, I sure hope so, when my time comes.
Cal. Cal, it's time now.
What? For me?
Yes.
Right now?
The work is finished. Why not? I have it all set up for you here. This glass of water.
You didn't overdo it, did you?
No. 4 drops, Cal. Come on, drink it down.
You ain't having yours now?
No, there are a few things I have to take care of first. You go ahead.
Hey, well, here goes.
Good luck, Cal.
It kind of catches in your throat, don't it?
I wouldn't be surprised.
How long you reckon before... it hurts, Mr. Hardy. Hurts in my stomach.
That won't last long, Cal.
I think I'd better just sit down here. It wasn't RJ-97 you put in my drink, was it?
I couldn't leave you free to talk, Cal.
They poisoned me. I'm going to die.
If it got out, they'd mob me. Everybody wanting it. Can't you see that? You wouldn't have known what to do with it anyway. You'd have wasted it.
Oh, the way I worked. And even the dogs. The rats. You gave them theirs. But me, you keep here.
I'm sorry, Cal. Truly, I'm sorry.
Here is a man who dispenses youth out of one bottle and out of another, death. Give a man that kind of power, and who knows in what direction it will bend his mind. But would you want to be the person who drank 4 drops out of one, or perhaps the other, of his bottles? Jessica Stone has a decision to make. We'll see how she makes it when I return shortly with Act 3.
Buick's 1976 Century Regal is the most luxurious midsize car Buick builds. But it's also got a practical side. In fact, it makes a concession to practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Regal, it's got the spirit.
Mike Batchelor, ex-Peace Corps volunteer.
I gave Tunisia peace of my mind. I learned as much from them as they learned from me.
Matt Ryson, ex-Peace Corps volunteer and farmer.
I gave Mindanao a piece of my mind. Now I can grow practically anything, anywhere.
There are people all over this world who need your mind and your skill. Join the Peace Corps. Give the world a piece of your mind. Call Action, 800-424-8580.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
There's nothing very new about the desire to recapture youth. Ponce de Leon traveled a long way looking for a fountain of youth that didn't exist. A fellow named Faust is said to have sold his soul to the devil in exchange for youth. Who, though, could yearn more poignantly for the return of youth than a famous actress who is beginning to realize that youth and beauty are slipping away from her? Nathan Hardy has offered Jessica Stone her second chance at youth.
Hello?
Jim? Jessica? Look, there's something you must do for me.
Well, of course. What?
Liquidate everything. Understand? Sell everything I own for whatever you can get. And bring the money up here to me in cash.
In cash?
Yes. Please. Cash.
Jessica, are you out of your mind?
Within 24 hours. Don't try to make decisions for me, Jim. Just do as I say.
Well, you know damn well I can't sell everything within 24 hours. It's impossible.
Don't make problems for me. Just get the money.
All right.
Jim? Jim?
Nathan, have you seen Cal anywhere?
Cal? No. Why, Beth?
Well, I'd like him to go to the shopping center.
I gave Cal the day off.
The day off?
As a matter of fact, he may be gone for several days. Some kind of family trouble. I didn't get the straight of it.
Family trouble? Well, I'll go myself. Maybe Jessica would like to go with me.
Well, the truth is, I promised to show Jessica the rose garden this afternoon.
The rose garden? But, Nathan, she can see that any time.
The point is, Beth, she wanted to see it this afternoon, and I promised to show it to her.
Nathan, I don't like deceiving Beth. Why won't you make Beth young again? There's enough of that stuff, isn't there, for all of us?
That stuff is called RJ-97. There's enough, yes. But I don't want to give it to Beth. I want to give it to you.
Couldn't you give it to both of us? She'd be young and beautiful again. She was beautiful when you married her.
Not as beautiful as you.
Oh, Nathan,
it's
please.
It's you I have always loved, always. Oh, Jessica, I can give you such a life. Think of it. Both of us young. A brilliant scientist. A great actress.
Nathan, what's that?
What's what?
Under that big tree, that mound, looks like a grave, a fresh grave.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is a grave.
Nathan.
One of my dogs died this morning. I buried him.
Looks big enough to be a man's grave.
He was a Saint Bernard, as big as a man.
Ugh. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Nathan, I can't do this to Beth. You insist we be married. Why? That's bigamy.
Oh, not really. We'll be completely different people, don't you understand? In our 20s, as far as anybody can tell, we won't be Nathan Hardy and Jessica Stone anymore.
But I don't love you.
But I won't be the same man. Can't you get that through your head? I'll be... Well, actually, I'll be as young as you. And I wasn't a bad-looking man when I was young, Jessica.
That's not the point. I don't love you.
Jessica, we're going to do this my way. Or we're not going to do it at all.
I'll get it. I'm sure it's for you, Jesse.
Could that be your man in New York?
Hello?
I guess it could be, Jim, yes. I told him I wanted the money here by
calling,
tomorrow afternoon.
Please.
Oh, it's for you, Jesse.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Jim Blake from New York again. He has a nice voice.
Oh, yes. Hello, Jim.
I've sold your stocks. Couldn't make a deal on anything else.
Just the stocks? Well, how much does it come to?
We'll count the money when I get there.
It's in cash?
Yes, it's in cash.
How are you coming up?
I'm flying to Bangor, due in at 11:30. Can you meet me?
Yes, I'll borrow Nathan's car. I'll be there.
All right.
Is he coming here? That's wonderful.
He seems very upset.
What about?
What right is he to be upset? He's only your business manager.
Well, he's a good friend, too. Or used to be.
Jessica, may I come in?
Yes, Beth.
What is it? I couldn't sleep. And I thought I heard you crying.
Oh, Beth, I can't do it. I just can't.
Can't do what?
What Nathan wants me to.
What Nathan wants you to?
Beth, I lied to you. I did find out what he's been working on. He's developed a thing, a serum or something, that he calls RJ-97. He gave it to that old dog, and in a few minutes, that dog was as young and as frisky as a puppy.
To marry him, after we've both taken the RJ-97, just as if you didn't exist.
He's really a dreadful man, isn't he? I think I know who is in that grave.
A person, you mean? Not a dog.
Cal. The handyman. He had to go away, Nathan said, because of some kind of family trouble. Cal doesn't have any family that I ever heard of.
We'll have to call the police, Beth.
No. Not just yet. You say you really believe that he can make people young again.
He made the dog young. I saw that with my own eyes.
I want some of that RJ, whatever it is.
I don't think he'll give it to you, Beth.
I'll think of a way to get it.
It's about an hour's drive to the house, Jim. Oh, I have so much to talk to you about.
I brought you $50,000.
It doesn't matter now, Jim. The money doesn't matter. That's all changed.
Oh?
Jim, Nathan has found out how to make old people young again.
Found out? Oh, that'll come off.
No. He can do it. I saw him with a dog. And he wants to make me young. Just me and him. And then he wants to... But I told Beth. And she thinks she can...
Will you stop it, Jessica? Just stop it. You're not making any sense.
Beth and you and I, Jim, we're all going to be young again.
But listen, even if there's any truth in all this nonsense, which I don't believe for a minute, I don't want any part of it.
But, Jim...
It is unnatural, and it's no good, Jessica.
I'm going to do it. I want to be young.
Did he bring the money?
Yes, Nathan, he brought it.
How much?
All he could get on such short notice.
How much?
$50,000.
That's all right. It's enough to get started with.
Nathan, I'm not going to marry you.
I think you will.
I suppose I'd be smarter to let you think I intend to. But I just can't. I don't love you. I don't even like you. Even if you weren't married to Beth, even then, I couldn't.
Jessica, that's not very kind of you.
No, but sometimes it's impossible to be both kind and honest.
Well, we'll go ahead with the plan. Maybe you'll change your mind when we're both young.
Why don't we just get out of this place? I don't trust that man.
Oh, no. If he's found a way to make people young, I intend to be one of the people.
It's all right, Jim. You and Beth will be right there, in his living room, just outside the lab.
Well, how can we get in there without his knowing?
I don't think it ought to be hard. I'll leave the attaché case with the money in my room. Say I've forgotten it. I'll tell him I don't feel well enough to go back upstairs for it. You know, partly from nervousness, partly from the smell in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
It really does smell.
Well, I don't see what that has to do with it.
He'll go up and get the money. Believe me, he won't make a move until he has his hands on that money. So when he leaves, you and Beth can come in and hide.
I don't like it. I don't like any part of it.
The bluish-gray attaché case, Jessica.
That's the one, Nathan. Hurry. In the bedroom.
Make sure he leaves the door open.
Right.
Are you feeling better now, Jessica?
Not much. I don't know. I feel sort of faint. It's very close in here.
Go on into the lab. Let's get this over with.
Nathan, please, can't we have the door open? That odor, I simply can't breathe.
All right. I guess it doesn't matter. Everything's ready, Jessica. That's your glass there on the counter. Pick it up, Jessica. All right. Here's to youth. Now, you, Jessica, drink.
I can't.
Of course you can. You saw me drink mine. It's perfectly safe.
I'm afraid. I don't want to anymore.
All right, watch me. Stand there for a few minutes and watch me grow young and strong again. Then see whether or not you want to. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, Lord, look.
You look like a college boy.
It's better than I thought. I feel wonderful. Now you can drink yours, Jessica. You can see that it's safe.
No, I can't. I don't want it. I don't want to be the way you are.
Drink it.
No!
Then give it to me, Jesse. I'll drink it.
Beth, no.
I will. You can't stop me.
Beth, don't.
I will.
Beth. It hurts. Beth.
Why does it hurt?
I told you not to, Beth. It was meant for Jessica.
Beth. Sit down.
My stomach. Nathan, what did... I think I'm going...
There's no pulse.
It's her own fault. I told her not to drink it.
It was poison, wasn't it? And you meant it for Jessica.
She wouldn't marry me. She said terrible things to me. She deserves to die.
Jim, don't.
I am going to kill him.
Stay away from me.
No! Jimmy, he's got a gun.
Don't move, either of you. I'll have to kill you, you know, no matter what. But if you try anything, I'll do it sooner.
Jimmy means it.
I'm sure he does.
Here, in this bottle is every drop of RJ-97 there is, anywhere, in all the world. Now watch closely. All down the drain, so that there'll never be anyone else, you see, only me. Now, watch this. This is the formula for RJ-97. And in this file are all the notes I made, step by step, for 10 long years. Torn up! In just a few seconds. Yes. I dropped them in the wastebasket. Now I strike a match. I drop it in the wastebasket. 10 years' work up in flames. Don't worry, though. I have it all in my head. I can make more RJ-97 when I need it. In 40 or 50 years. But no one else ever. Now, Jessica, I want you to go to the door and close it. It's setting up a draft. Very slowly and carefully, so you don't make me nervous with this gun in my hand.
Do as he says, Jessica.
But you're not to move, Jim. Not as much as a muscle.
Run, Jessica!
Run.
I told you! Ow!
Jim, your arm's bleeding.
Never mind. Now, we've got him shut inside there. Now, help me move this couch in front of the door so he can't get out.
After you pushed me out of the door, I heard a shot. Jim, you're bleeding.
Well, he's not a very good shot.
He killed Beth.
He'll pay for it.
Port Davis police. I want to report a murder.
Yes, murder. At the Hardy place. Nathan Hardy.
Jim, the lab's on fire.
The fire in the wastebasket must have set off some kind of... You stay back, Jessica. The heat is too much. I'm afraid the whole place is going.
Oh, Beth, poor Beth.
I'm sorry, Jessica.
Do you know what I forgot? The attaché case, all that money. I left it in the laboratory.
Considering what might have happened to you, it's not too high a price to pay.
As I said earlier, aging is a process shared by all living things, always has been and always will be. Waistlines expand, hair turns gray or disappears altogether, and except for an occasional Nathan Hardy, we all manage to take it pretty philosophically. It isn't all downhill. It has its compensations. I'll be back shortly.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall.
Not too long ago, this was both the most loved and the most hated song in America. But as we began to overcome the problems this song symbolized, we realized there was still much more to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge could resolve. Today, we stand closer than ever to the answers to these problems. Close, but not close enough. Give to the college of your choice now so that our young people can make the difference between a bright tomorrow or maybe no tomorrow at all. That way, I'll bet we can overcome just about anything.
We can overcome someday.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Jessica and Jim are married and living quite happily in New York City. Now that it doesn't matter to her particularly, Jessica is, of course, one of the busiest actresses around. And she's happy. After all, doesn't her husband always do what she asks him to? Be with us, young or old, for our next exploration of the not quite impossible. Our cast included Ann Shepherd, Norman Rose, Virginia Dwyer, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You shouldn't let me book you into this place.
Oh, don't be silly. I was here for retakes on the picture, and I had this... Well, I wanted to sing again, Mark. I mean, in front of people.
Listen, you could go home, take the Hollywood Bowl, and fill it and get your heart's desire. A little wine?
All right. No, I didn't mean that. I meant... Oh,
hey, you spilled it. I'm sorry.
No. I'm the one that's sorry.
Well, why did you start so and turn away like that?
I just didn't want that boy crossing the dance floor to see me.
You mean Joe College, whatever he is?
I mean Don Pedro Escobar de Villarmo.
So outside of his name, what's his particular problem?
It's just that he hates me.
He's male and he hates you?
Enough to kill me.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. Thank you.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for mostly sunny skies tomorrow and Wednesday after patchy morning fog. Highs mid-70s tomorrow, lower 70s on Wednesday with lows near 50. No chance of rain. And in downtown Seattle, currently it's 58 degrees. The barometer falling, it reads 30.12.
Filling the air with bright and beautiful music, this is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News next, it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News, a Hungarian airliner with more than 60 people on board has crashed into the sea near Beirut, Lebanon. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Airport sources say it's believed there were no survivors of the crash. The plane was reported to be on a flight to Beirut from Budapest when it went down in the water. A search aircraft from Cyprus is said to have found the wreckage 14 miles north of the Lebanese capital. Boats are said to be bringing bodies ashore. The plane is a Soviet-built Tupolev 154, a three-engine turbojet. In Argentina, police reports say at least 30 people were killed and about 100 others injured Monday night in the collision of two passenger trains. The crash occurred about 30 miles north of Buenos Aires when one train smashed in the rear end of another. More news in a moment.
When the leaves come off, put the collar on. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Your dog can get ticks anytime, so keep a Hearts two-in-one collar on year-round. For every tick it kills now, up to 2,000 ticks won't be born this spring. To really kill ticks and fleas, the Hearts two-in-one collar is always in season.
When the leaves come off, put the collar on. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here, side by side with the super chef. A word about tomorrow's doings and Mike Roy's cooking thing. Looks like we're going to bake something here, a broccoli thing. Is that it?
Well, that's what we were going to do. I tried to emblazon your name and lights across the cook stove.
How's that?
I was going to change broccoli to broccoli in your honor.
Broccoli. Denny Broccoli here. Yeah.
Very
like
good.
That. You're okay, chef.
Fantabulous baked broccoli instead of broccoli, I'm afraid.
We're going to have a broccoli tomorrow on Mike's cook thing on CBS.
President Ford flies to Chicago Tuesday. It'll be his first trip outside Washington since that attempt on his life in San Francisco last Monday. It's thought security on this trip will be extremely tight, but the Secret Service would not say whether any new measures are being taken to protect the president. From Chicago, President Ford goes to Omaha, Nebraska. That bill to extend domestic oil price controls until November 15th is now law. President Ford signed it Monday, so Congress and the administration can have more time to work out a long-range energy program. The president said again America must reduce its dependence on foreign oil.
Last week's decision by the OPEC foreign oil cartel to raise their prices to American consumers by 10% provides beyond any further argument the urgent need for the United States to produce or reduce its growing dependence on imported fuel at prices arbitrarily set by others.
The president also said foreign oil purchases are taking away too much money and too many jobs from Americans. Former baseball great Casey Stengel is seriously ill. The news was released by a longtime friend, Rod Dedeau, who gave details on the condition of the 85-year-old Stengel.
His condition must be considered critical. He has a malignant sarcoma, which is really a cancer-like disease of the lymph tissues. So he's in a very serious condition, and it has to be considered critical. And the outcome is questionable.
Rod Dedeau, the head baseball coach at USC and a close friend of Casey Stengel. Actress Marlena Dietrich suffered a broken thigh bone Monday night when she fell on stage during a performance in Sydney, Australia. Ms. Dietrich, who is 74 years old, is expected to be in the hospital several days. Secretary of State Kissinger told a gathering of Arab diplomats in New York Monday night that his next diplomatic effort on the Middle East will be to try to arrange peace talks between Israel and Syria. Kissinger said he believes the Palestinians should be included in any settlement. Emperor Hirohito and Empress Nagako of Japan are now en route to the United States. It'll be the first time in history a Japanese monarch has been to this country. As they left Tokyo, several thousand people demonstrated in various cities around Japan to show their opposition to the visit. Now this.
Parents of the nation, we've had it. The little ones have caught up to us, and we're ambushed. We've taught the little ones codes, ethics, and morality. What's right, what's wrong. What's good, what's bad. So stop getting sore when the young fries speak up.
Mommy, you'll live longer if you don't smoke.
You taught them to stand up for what's right. There's only one answer when the youngster in your life says,
Daddy, please don't smoke. It's bad for you.
That's it, folks. There's only one thing to do, and that's to kick the habit. For peace in the family, and for the sake of your lungs, quit smoking now. Your Lung Association and your children all agree.
It's a matter of life and death.
Formal dedication ceremonies will be held Tuesday for the new home for the FBI, the J. Edgar Hoover Building on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington. At a cost of $126 million, it's the most expensive government office building ever constructed. About 1,600 people will be on hand for the ceremonies. The scheduled speakers include President Ford, Attorney General Edward Leavy, and FBI Director Clarence Kelly. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle. This is KIXI with the time now 6 minutes past 11.
Now a KIXI News update. A Los Angeles County grand jury began consideration of charges against Patty Hearst and her traveling comrades, William and Emily Harris. The hearings involving allegations of multiple offenses against the trio, including intent to commit murder. Defense attorneys failed to block the proceedings on constitutional grounds.